Welcome back for another episode of the Life Lately podcast with Mel and Soph. It's week 4 of the lockdown, I think. And before we get into it, it's always good to touch base, right? So, Mel, has it been? 1 month? 1 month-ish in?
I guess.
Yeah.
4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How's it been?
You know, it's been all right for me. I'm really getting into the groove of things, and I am just understanding more and more that I am indeed an introvert.
Mm.
Not in a sense, I am, you know, when you see me and stuff, when we get into it, I'm very like bubbly and everything, but man, I love my space and I'm loving this social distancing. I'm enjoying being in my own space. You know, I've just been cooking some chicken curry and it's just been great. You. I know.
That sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
Have you gone out at
shining.
All?
I do. I've gone out to the shops and I hate it each and every time. Mm. You know what I do hate, though?
Mm-hmm.
I hate the fact that just before you go out, you have to do a mental check of, just to go to my car, I need to do a mental check of, like, do I have my hand sanitizer? Do I have gloves? Mm-hmm. Do I have a face mask? Do I have tissues? It's just so long.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And then to stand, and people don't really understand the whole 2 meters distance. They're either really close to you or they are just on the 2 meters. Like, guys, you can go a bit further back, please. Like, please go
spread yourselves.
Spread away. For me. But yeah, that's the only thing. And so I try not to go out too much. I mean, I can spend a whole week indoors.
Yeah.
And I have a garden.
Yeah, that's true. I spent 3.5 weeks indoors.
Wow.
Well, I say indoors, I have a back garden, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I did not go anywhere when I did. And like you, I did not enjoy. It was not a great experience to be out there.
Just like,
and this is why I stay indoors. Out here in these streets, there's too many problems.
It's true.
From
tell us about your suspicious looks. I give those suspicious looks as well, I'm not gonna lie. But tell us about your experience of going to, was it a supermarket for the first time in 3 weeks? Obviously,
so I first went, I mean, Aldi is the closest, got into Aldi, literally got into the last parking space. But it was just chaotic. And I hear usually it's okay. I do not know what was happening that day. I decided I would not queue. I literally parked the car, got out, looked around and got back in and went to Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's was better. I parked the car. And again, because this is my first time out, I don't really know what the process is.
Yeah,
do you go get the trolley first and then join the queue, or do you join the queue and get the trolley later? I just joined the queue because I was like, this is a long queue.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to get there quickly before it grows any further.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, of course, everyone is looking suspicious at each other. Like, do you carry the corona? And you see, I suffer from hay fever, and this is hay fever season. That's just true. Like, Lord Jesus, better not sneeze here, because I'm telling you, it would clear.
They'll just escort you out, kick you
out.
Like, get out of here.
So odd, though. Queuing up, we had a queue for the butter, queue for the milk, queue for the bread.
Damn.
And I'm like, this is not a terrible experience. There are times that you just need to be in your house.
It's true. And you know
this
what?
Is one
the Bible
of those times.
Says, the Bible has, there's so many instructions, you know, just there's one scripture where it's literally God is saying, like, stay indoors.
Close the door, stay inside.
And so there's a time and place for everything. So
Stay
indoors, people. It's not
for me, it's funny. Definitely stay inside. I'm like, why am I going out?
Like, I know. Honestly, it's just like, because where I live, it's just a built up part of London.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, on High Street, it looks as if it's a normal day. It's a normal day, guys. Like, people are out. There's a queue for the M&S. There's a queue for the Sainsbury's local. There's a queue for Superdrug. There's a queue for the Poundland. There's a queue everywhere. And people...
Wait, is Superdrug open?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should go into the city centre.
I suppose it's because it's got a pharmacy as well. So if you've got a pharmacy, then yeah, it'll be open. But yeah, there's a queue for everything and people are out. Like people are at the bus stop waiting to get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't key workers, okay? I don't know. Listen, I'm just like, this is just not working. It's not working.
It's not working.
It looks like a normal day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, honestly. I hope that, you know, we have another 3 weeks to go, right? So
yeah.
And I think I read somewhere that they're hoping to open schools again in 3 weeks' time.
Oh,
so dear. I'm looking forward to that because, like I said in the last episode, I am no teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I need my child to be in school.
Yeah.
Also, Mel, I have been wondering, this is the first time, I suppose, that you've been away from your partner for an extended period. Mm-hmm. So how is that going?
You know what? That's actually going okay. I mean, I'll admit, in the mm-hmm. beginning, for me, I was getting frustrated simply because of the principle behind it, really. I was just thinking, as my man, you should be here with me. You should be here to protect me. You know, that kind of thing of
mm-hmm.
you're choosing between staying with your family or staying with me. So I wasn't really too pleased with that. And I've let him know that even though, okay, I get it, coronavirus, but mm-hmm. I'm not happy. So, But it's cool, actually, to be honest. As I said, I'm enjoying my space. And truth be told, like, I'm enjoying my space, you know, where
yeah,
I just, yeah. It's good. In fact, it's dangerously good, to be honest. Ah! Like,
when this lockdown is over, Mel will still want to be in lockdown.
Oh, yeah. I'll be like, yeah. You know what? It's cool. I mean, we speak the same how we normally speak. There's no date nights. There's no nothing like that. Nah, who's got Why? Time? Listen, you see my headscarf.
You have all the time.
yes, but no. See, the funny thing is, the reason why date night wouldn't work, for example, if it was a movie date night, it mm-hmm. wouldn't work because I have Netflix, he doesn't. He has Sky, I don't. So I don't know what we're going to be watching together at the same time, really.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that. It could just be food and wine. You in a cute dress, him dressed up?
A cute dress? No, Soph. I will be in my headscarf. I will be in a mask, a face mask, a headscarf, and a mask. Okay. And my pajamas.
You'll be basically looking after yourself.
I will be. Who's doing that? Darling, you want me in some nice dress. You should have been here, but you chose not to be.
Ah.
So.
Ah.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is.
And people think I'm rough.
You are.
Oh no.
I in this
you are in something.
This season, I don't have time. As so much you, as the all the time we have, I don't have
You don't have the time. To give.
No.
Well.
It's all good. We're very much comfortable.
See,
it's
like in my day we didn't have any of this. I wish we did.
Technology, I mean.
Yeah, technology has, you know, when I was doing the long distance thing. To the old mobile phones, no video, no nothing. So I would
no
right
internet.
Now. Yeah, no. Well, no, there was internet. I am was old, there? But I'm not that old. Yes, in the 90s, there was internet switching.
Can't remember.
Oh, mobile phone. Ali, when did we get married? 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. So by then, there was internet,
Yeah.
So what was I saying? Lost my train of thought.
You didn't have this kind of technology to do the whole romance and all that jazz, long distance.
Well, there was romance as in sweetener things, but I wish we had like video calls. You know? I mean, well, the Skype had kind of started, but my goodness, you know, you'd go on the video call and by the time you're on it, you're already off it because it was
it's
so
true.
Bad.
It was so slow, wasn't it? And it was
so
always pixelated.
Slow. Yeah,
in fact,
exactly.
It's now.
It still is. Oh, Skype, come on. Pull up your socks. Anyway, let's move on. We are picking up where we left off last week with our interview with Stella, who is the CEO and founder of Brand Essence PR. Stella describes herself as a Robin Hood, having worked in large multinationals, including KPMG, Coca-Cola, and GlaxoSmithKline. She has now founded her own consultancy where she helps small and medium-sized organizations and special interest groups. There's been so much to learn from part one. So if you haven't already, please do check it out. There's a lot of information there. But for now, let's move on to part two of our discussion, communications during a crisis.
Before I move on to my other point, which I'm sure you've kind of touched on a bit anyway. But I just want to go back to the whole point that you raised earlier about acknowledging something quickly and saying sorry quickly. And I just obviously, you know, spoke about the Boeing plane, and obviously 23 days is far too long. But actually, just to put things in perspective, how soon should a company say sorry, and how long is too long? Like, what is the sort of window, if there is one? Obviously, ideally, straight away, but what is the sort of window before it gets really bad?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Let's step back a little bit. So the first thing you have to do, first of all, is to step back and put yourself in the shoes of your stakeholder or the person that you have grieved or offended. And understand that they may be fearful, they may be angry, they may be confused, all right? And so depending on how much you know about the issue, you know, at the point when it comes to your attention, then like you said, you can apologize immediately. But if not, you can always say, I'm sorry to hear about this, and I'm aware, and I want you to know that I'm taking it seriously, and I'm looking to find out the facts. And as soon as I find out the facts, I will get back to you. So if you commit, I will be back to you in 10 minutes, then in 10 minutes, you need to have your apology. If you commit to come back in within 24 hours, then you better have a full explanation and a comprehensive apology. All right. But always acknowledge in the first instance, as quickly as you find out, that we are sorry to hear this. Okay. Acknowledge immediately, that because whether you find out afterwards that it was not your problem, you are still unhappy as a reasonable human being that your stakeholder is not happy, whether it was your fault or not. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if I go back to that Cambodia story, it was not our fault. Really, we had manufactured an excellent product. Okay, something in the middle didn't go right. And even of the children who received the vaccine, the child who had been vaccinated with the GSK vaccine was undergoing treatment and had recovered. Okay, but even then, human life was lost. The potential of these newborn babies was lost. Parents were grieving. A hospital was confused and not knowing how to explain what had happened. And you had two companies running around trying to find out what the problem was. In that first instance, you have to say you're sorry. Even if you find out later it was not your problem, it will go on record that you cared enough to apologize for a problem that was not yours.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it seems like from the sound of things, when companies don't say sorry, it's like for them to say sorry means that they're owning up for it, like that is a fault, that they're owning up to a fault. And is that necessarily the case of why companies don't say sorry straight away? Because they don't want to feel like they're taking the blame or they're admitting. Ownership, or they're admitting.
Yes. And you know why? Because when they do something wrong and then they get sued in the courts, it has a financial liability. Okay. It also has a reputational risk that comes with it. But I would rather suffer the risk of having done something wrong and gone on record to apologize than to keep behaving like this thing is not happening and hiding your head in the sand and then popping up after 23 days or however long you deemed that it was okay to do this and then come and apologize. It really takes away from, because the longer you take to apologize, and you know this even in human interaction, when someone offends you, the longer they take to apologize, the hotter the issue becomes. It is no different for the public. You're dealing with human beings. So the longer you take to apologize, the more you show that you don't care, the more you show that you think that you have more power over your customer or your consumer or the end user of your product, okay? And it really speaks more about you and your character and your values as an organization when you do not have the heart or the room to try and acknowledge where the offended is. Okay, at where in the timeline they are, and try to make an effort to fix it. So, you know, just you know, first apologize for the issue and get the detail, and then with the getting of the detail, you will have clarity about how the matter should be resolved, and where there is a liability, then you have to pay. Please don't start trying to negotiate. Because you must remember something with your customer. Your customer has options. Never forget the power of your customer.
That's true.
You know, the first lesson you learn in marketing 101 is the customer is king. It is true. And in this world nowadays, options are everywhere. Yes, and especially with social media, where the world, the digital world, where everything is flat. Okay, mm-hmm. I could be sitting in Nairobi in Kenya, and competing with another PR agency in the UK, and I could jolly well get the job because borders cease to exist anymore, right?
Yes. Mm.
So you must always remember that your customer has an option.
Mm.
Always, they have an option. But even in the sea of options, they have chosen you, okay? And if they have chosen you, then you better keep giving them reasons to believe that they made the right choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what Boeing right did choice. That day was to tell their customers, who are the airlines, that actually, we were probably not the right choice.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's actually really powerful. It's actually so true that, you know, the customer is definitely at the heart of it. Even when it comes to crisis comms, there's something actually I wanted to ask, and you have touched on this a bit, but I just wondered if you can just give sort of like an overview or probably some fresh new ones. I don't know. But when it comes to crisis comms, or when it comes to a crisis in particular, there are some times we can actually avoid a situation before it happens. I know you touched on this before about preparing and how to prepare. But what are three, if you can give three, then that's fine. But what are the three things an organization shouldn't do in a crisis?
So the first thing, please have a plan. Like they say, there's a saying, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Mm-hmm. So have a plan. As a business, regularly, every quarter, you should sit together, okay? As a team or as a business owner, and just look at what are the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats. The SWOT. Yes, do a SWOT analysis of your business.
SWOT analysis.
And overlay that SWOT analysis with what they call the PESL model. Begin to identify where your likely challenges will come from. Okay? And then, like we said, you must have a plan that says, if this happens, then what? And now I think with COVID, you can see, I mean, right now you have a plethora of, if this happens, then what?
Yes.
It's almost like,
yes.
Now this is,
I don't think anyone had this on the SWOT.
Then what?
Analysis. now what? Then what? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think anyone had this on their SWOT.
Have a plan. You must have a plan. Okay. Mm. Even if it's a one pager, right? But have a plan. I mean, something that you can default to. And now you must remember, with all these changes, you must live like a scout. You must always be prepared. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Today it's a virus, tomorrow it is technology, another day it's something else, another time it's a policy or a law, it will be something. There will be something. Yeah. So be ready at all times. So you must have a plan.
Yeah.
The second thing, like we have said, is what you shouldn't do is to stand like a deer in the headlights and pretend that things are not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you don't happen on that thing will happen on you. So get ahead of it. The third thing that you shouldn't do in a crisis is respond slowly. Please move quickly. You waste a few minutes and you can't get ahead of the issue at all.
Mm.
Okay? You decide not to respond on social media. Well, all the conversations are happening on social media. Sorry.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what?
There's a lot of companies and stuff that aren't on social media.
That's where the people are. And you're just one tweet away or one Facebook post away from a disaster.
Well, the thing is, even on that, what would be so disastrous and detrimental to a company is if they're not on social media and something about their company is kicking off on social media.
Yes.
How on earth are they going to...
And two days after the crisis is when you're opening your Twitter account. It's pointless. You've lost...
Hi, guys. Ladies of the party.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that we have you talking about us?
Oh dear.
In fact, I find that many companies right now will begin to ask themselves some very serious questions. Number one, about whether they need offices at all, because work is still getting done. Mm-hmm. And number two, whether people should be flying all over the place for meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the meetings can be done online.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another question is, what are the top three lessons from crisis comms that we can apply to our everyday lives?
Okay, so I usually have my top five takeouts. So I'll give you three and then two bonus points. Okay.
Oh, sorry. You cut out there. Sorry.
I can't
can't actually tell who's laughing and who's saying what. You both sound alike. What? Sophie, you're laughing at her.
So you want to say five?
Yeah. So let me give you some top three lessons, okay, that you can take. I'll give you three, but I'll also give you some two bonus ones. Okay? So let's...
Ooh, we do. For all our special listeners.
And I'm giving you two bonuses, right?
Oh, yes. So thank you.
So let's start with the first one. Don't waste a crisis.
Don't waste it, girl.
Don't waste it. Don't waste it.
Oh.
If you forget anything else I said today, remember that. Why?
Okay.
The question you should ask yourself is, how can we leverage this challenging time to emerge stronger, to innovate better, to connect with our customers and our employees better?
Okay.
So don't waste a crisis. Even when you are the cause of the crisis, if your company was the cause of the crisis, don't waste it. This is the time to remind your customers why they fell in love with you in the first place.
Mm.
Okay, I'm sure we've all been involved in, you know, relationships with significant others or even within a family context. And when you have your first fight, everybody remembers the first fight. Okay, but that first... Okay.
It was a good one.
I mean, I've been married, 20 years now? And I've been with my husband for another four before that. So we've been friends for 24 years. You can imagine in 24 years, we've had a lot of fights. Okay.
Yeah.
But we never waste every fight. We never waste those fights because they're an opportunity for us to understand each other better.
Okay.
Okay. Because we are changing as human beings. You know, things that didn't bother me when we got married or when we met may bother me now. Okay. Because we are changing. So don't waste a crisis. Just look for the silver lining. We say every cloud has a silver lining.
Okay.
Find the silver lining in the crisis, because it is either an opportunity, like we said, to innovate, to emerge stronger, to solidify your relationships. But it's also a time for you to review your processes and just find, is there something that we had missed? You know, while we were busy trying to make sales and do whatever else, is there something that we missed that the crisis has brought?
Can I just say so at this juncture that actually last week's podcast is a good one on this. Which was how to reemerge better from a crisis. So we discussed reinventing ourselves and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, very good one.
No,
but
yes.
On the relationship front, I was thinking about another things in mind, but go ahead.
Oh, go on, no shit. I'd love to hear this. What was
this
it?
Yes,
so would I.
I do. Exactly.
We want to hear. Okay. All right. All right.
Moving on.
All right. Moving on. I'm actually so intrigued. But anyway, let's not digress. Go on. Go ahead, Stella. Sorry.
That's all right. So the second lesson is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm. And the summary of that is that empathy is at the heart of effective communications. Communications is a very, it's a process that ignites the senses, right? When you communicate, you want people to feel something. You want people to think a certain way. You want people to do something.
Right.
Okay, it's a very sensorial, it's a multi-sensorial activity. And therefore, you must remember that human beings are, first of all, emotive beings. We might say some are more logical than others, and that doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, human beings have feelings and emotions. And people must feel that you are trying to connect with them. People must feel that they were heard, that they were listened to, whether you agreed with them or not, but that you listened.
Yeah.
That matters. And this is not just about business-to-business interactions or business-to-customer interactions. It's about human interactions. Like we said, in every crisis, there's a human being, correct? Or at the heart of every business decision, there's a human being. So please make sure that you are empathic to others. Just remember that you're dealing with people. And sometimes people can be rational, but mostly irrational. And you must try and find a win-win.
Go ahead. No, sorry, I was going to ask him, by you saying people want to feel like they're being listened to, do you mean that by, and even if you don't agree, so... does that mean the other person, in order to make sure, show that they are listening, that they don't need to then put their points across as well? Or it's just a case of, okay, I'm listening. As much as I don't necessarily agree, I'm just going to hear you and that's it.
No. Communication is a two-way process. It demands listening and somebody communicating and the other one listening. Okay, and we used to, in school we called it encoding and decoding, right? So somebody gives a message, it goes to the other side, and somebody will interpret that communication from their worldview. Everybody has rose-colored glasses from their frame of reference, whether it's religion or incidences that happened in the past or economic status. You know, a message for somebody who with a low economic status will be received one way than somebody who is of a, you know, a better economic position than they are. Whatever you do, you must always communicate from the position of the listener, of the audience. That is when communication becomes effective.
Okay.
If you're just thumping your chest and saying, what about me, how great I am, and things like that, it doesn't work. I think if you just look at religion, you know, for example, religion is about the worship of of some deity, some god. Mm-hmm. For me, it is Christianity. For somebody else, it will be Hinduism. For the Muslims, it will be something else. And there are also those who do not worship anything. That's your choice.
Okay? Yeah.
But for those people who ascribe to a religion or some form of a religion, part of the religion includes worship, right?
Yeah.
The deity is bigger than
doesn't need you to tell
what it is. If you look at it, doesn't need you to tell it. But you do tell the deity what it is. Mm-hmm. Because you're communicating from the deity's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So God says, I am great. And what do you say as from the other side, as the near mortal? You say, how great thou art.
Mm.
So always, and when you do that, that's why most people say that when you're having a challenge and you speak from a point of worship, you find that you get solutions because the deity is pleased. So when you're speaking from the perspective of your audience, you stand a better chance of also presenting your point of view than if they come with their problem and say, well, according to me, you know, this is what I think.
Then it will never get resolved, would it?
I think I'm just going to walk out with my money and shop elsewhere. And it will never get resolved. Actually, it will get resolved.
Yeah, they're
it
walking out.
Resolved. And you know how it will get resolved?
Yeah,
with their that's the resolution.
That's the resolution. The customer will just go. The problem will be solved. It just won't be solved the way you want it. Why? Because in a crisis, you don't want to lose the customer. In fact, you hope that you will even win the customer more because of the way you handle the issue. The third point is that everything communicates. Silence is communication. Just as much as saying something is communication. The tone that you use to communicate says something. The way you look at somebody as you speak says something. And that's why they say 70 to 90% of all communication is actually non-verbal. So everything communicates. Something as simple as you're issuing your press release or your holding statement the to address one. The crisis. And you wrote it in Comic Sans. You
know,
Comic Sans? People like Comic Sans.
You know, Comic Sans is not bad, but Comic Sans has a place. There's a place for that type. In a kindergarten, when you're writing the alphabet, it works. On the letterhead of this podcast, it does not work. Okay?
It sets the tone.
So even the font that you use matters.
Yeah.
It sets the tone.
Yeah.
Even like an assistant of spokesperson
coming to talk to the people shows. You don't care.
Yeah, you escalate an issue to this to the head of the business, and then they send you their receptionist to deal with it. Now, we are not saying that the receptionist is not a person who can deal with it. In fact, they are probably the best at dealing with it because, you know, they're always interacting with people. They know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
But this issue was escalated to the CEO. And what the CEO should do is say, look, you brought this issue to my attention and I am addressing it. I would also like to bring the receptionist on board. And following this conversation, I have appointed her and given her responsibility to follow through with the solution to this problem, and she has my full support. So those are the top 3 points. Don't waste a crisis. Yes. Have empathy. Everything communicates. Here are your 2 bonus points. Failing to plan is planning to fail. Please have a crisis plan before the crisis. Don't wait for the crisis. And then 2 days after, you start doing the plan. It doesn't work like that. And then the second bonus point is that nature abhors a vacuum. So don't keep quiet. Say something and then act. Yeah. Because, of course, as we know, actions speak louder than words. Say something, but once you say it, act even faster than you said it. So I gave you 3 points, all right? And 2 bonus points. I think in the spirit of true African generosity, I will give you a third bonus point.
All
right? Okay.
We don't just
add extra. Feeding the village, we're feeding the nation.
Yeah, we add extra because absolutely. these interactions are about adding value. So I want to add value to your esteemed listeners and to yourselves. So you might listen to the points and say, okay, well, they sound nice and they sound futuristic, but what can I do right now? Start creating the plans now. How often are you getting in touch with your employees? If you haven't been getting in touch with them regularly, please set a routine to speak to them at least once a week. Touch base with them once a week. Bring all of you huddle together in your virtual room and have a conversation. Do a check-in with everyone. That's important. Don't drop the ball on that one until, you know, and even when this thing resolves, please make sure that even a month or two after things get back to the new normal, because I don't think we'll ever go back to the way the world was, please make sure that you continue that and put this as just part of your usual management routines. Stay in touch with your employees. Please keep in touch with your customers. Please find out how your customers are doing. Are there, you know, one of the currencies that exists in the world, of course, as we know, is money. But goodwill is a very important currency. And so at this time, are there concessions or a reshifting of agreements that you can make with your suppliers so that you can also, or you, not just your suppliers, but also your customers, that can help all of you adjust? Because this problem is not one-sided. This problem has impacted every single person. So if your business is struggling, you can rest assured that your supplier's business is struggling, and so is your customer's business, even your consumers. So for those of you who have products that go to, you know, to consumers, to individuals, to humans. Because some businesses are business to business and others are, you know, B2C, you know. Yes. So have you checked in with those people and found how they are coping? You might all have to adjust your cash flows and demands you're making of each other so that you can all ride the storm together.
Yeah.
You know, we either win together or we perish together as fools.
Yeah.
You have to make a choice. So check in on your employees, check in on your customers, just find out how people are doing, and then structure agreements that work. And more importantly, where you can, reach out to the community around you, because there are people around you who are hurting, families that don't have food. I think I have seen very devastating and very heartbreaking pictures of elderly people are walking into supermarkets and finding nothing to buy, nothing to shop for. You know, if you're a company, for example, that deals in distribution and logistics, why don't you get together with other like-minded businesses, work with the government and identify where the old people are and begin to distribute the food? This is not the time for competition. This is not the time for Pepsi and Coca-Cola to fight. This is the time for Pepsi and Coca-Cola to come together. Because, you know, the virus is not a respecter of persons. So this is the time for companies to put competition aside and come together and leverage their strengths to help those who are underprivileged in the communities. And they exist everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, a couple of friends and I have come together and we've created this program called Share a Care Pack, where we are, you know, we are raising money from the public. About, I don't know how much, 1,000 just a few, a couple of pounds, but we are able to buy food for a family of 6 people to feed them for 1 week. And we put it in a bag, we call it a Share a Care Pack, and we are sharing those packs. And what am I doing, for example, as a communications professional? I am supporting the communications efforts for that charity. Somebody else is a logistics expert. He's the one dealing with how to get the food where it is needed the most. Other people may not be PR people, but they have relationships with media people. And so they're giving those media friends of theirs a call and saying, hey, can you promote this thing on your website or on your radio station or things like that? We have a call center where people are calling to say, hey, we need food. We have people who are skilled in that who are taking those calls.
Yeah.
Everybody can do something to make the burden easier for somebody else. And you know what they say? In giving, you receive. So as you make the burden lighter for somebody else, you are showing goodwill into your business. And also it gives, it brings now's joy to your heart.
Oh, wonderful.
You will reap what you sow.
Well, you know what?
Wow. Yeah, so and that's it.
That has been epic. And it's been amazing.
I know.
Asante, Sana, Stella, thank you so much.
No!
Hey! Thank you so much, Stella, for joining us today. My gosh, it has been so educational and so helpful in so many ways, guys. I hope you really, really enjoyed that. So Stella, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So like we said, it's a global village now. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in Kenya or not. I'm happy to support you and I can work with Sophie and Mel to do this. So if you need any help putting together a crisis communications plan or just having a conversation about, you know, how you can do this, feel free to reach out to me. My email is stella@brandessencepr.com.
Wow, Stella, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. I certainly learned a lot and I'm sure everyone else did. As always, we always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, and please share this episode and part one with your friends, with business owners, with churches. I think this is so helpful to anyone in an institution where you have to be on top of your public relations and your communications in general. Also send Stella's details across to them. You'll find them in the episode notes. And finally, join us on Instagram. Our handle is @lifelatelypod. Have a conversation with us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And until next Monday, please stay safe, stay indoors, and take care. God bless. Bye.